Tuesday, June 28th. Having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, the Christian Post recently ran a story concerning the death of Naomi Judd. Actress Ashley Judd sat down for an interview with Diane Sawyer of Good Morning America, revealing that her death was caused by a self-inflicted gun wound prompted by her mental illness. Judd and her older sister, Wyona, announced their mother died on April 30th to the disease of mental illness. The country music legend was 76. Ashley recounted that tragic day, and she went on to say, "When we're talking about mental illness, it's very important to be clear and to make the distinction between our loved one and the disease. It's very real, it lies, it's savage." Naomi Judd was scheduled to be inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame just days after her death. Ashley Judd explained that although it was an immense honor, her mother's mental illness could not allow her to celebrate the occasion with her peers. The Judd sisters did attend the Country Music Hall of Fame ceremony in honor of their mother, a multi-platinum artist. Just weeks before the tragedy, the family reunited at the CMA Awards for a performance. Harry, this sad story brings up a larger issue that we've dealt with in the past, but important to go over it again. That's the issue of euthanasia and suicide. Unfortunately, we are seeing some in the entertainment industry, as well as even in academia, that are glorifying the idea of euthanasia and even suicide.
One of the things that is being done now and taught in the colleges are a number of analytical tools such as intersectionality, which basically groups people into tribes. And if you're a minority tribe, therefore you are oppressed, and whoever's not in a minority tribe is privileged, was always designed to be answered by a more powerful government. Whenever you introduce chaos and polarization, then everyone's looking for an answer. Well, the government says we're the answer. Well, one of the things that has to be addressed is, what about medicine? And whenever you remove competitiveness from a society economically, you also remove accessibility to increasingly effective medical technology. Dr. Schaefer warned us years ago, the same world in life view that would take the life of the vulnerable in the womb will also take the life of the vulnerable at the end of life, and then will move to those who have unwanted defects in their life, whose life would be determined unworthy of contribution to the state. And that's exactly what is happening.
World Magazine ran an article dramatizing suicide. The article points out a number of entertainment programs on HBO, Netflix, and other outlets, which basically glorify the idea of suicide.
We were talking about the educational system. Well, the educational system is not only seen at the buildings that house our grade schools, junior high, and high schools. It's also aimed at our children through the various mediums of communication, particularly entertainment. There is a fascination with the subject of euthanasia and the promotion of euthanasia as an option to vulnerable adolescents. Now, please remember, there's two things that are happening. Number one, their brain is still being formed. The brain through the teenage years is still being developed in terms of its capacities and abilities. Secondly, adolescence is taking place. That is the ability to process the opportunities and challenges of life with a value system that is taught and embraced. Adolescence is focused upon developing one's personal, social, mental skills and filters for life. What is happening are programs that are communicating a world in life view in which active euthanasia, we're not talking about passive euthanasia, that someone's at the end of a life and they've chosen not to use heroic measures to prolong their life, but active euthanasia, whereby people have their life taken or secure medical assistance to have their life taken. If you can't eat, drink, and be merry, then why live? That life of nihilism, that life of despair, has now come to its conclusion, and we now have rampant in our nation and in our communication systems and in our entertainment industry this glorification of euthanasia and the feasibility of euthanasia and even the educational mechanisms of how to do euthanasia into the lives of very vulnerable, immature people in their adolescent years. Therefore, we have a rampant, explosive fascination with the culture of death, from abortion to infanticide and now active euthanasia.
Harry, to that end, Netflix recently ran a docudrama dealing with euthanasia and suicide entitled 13 Reasons Why. A study published last April revealed that the month following the debut of this program, suicide rates jumped to a 19-year high for U.S. children ages 10 to 17.
I would say to Netflix and HBO, which are promoting these programs, how do you like that on your conscience? But I won't say that because I'm not sure that they, in some sense, don't see that as a successful program. The fact that the suicide rate has now jumped, dramatically jumped, after the presentation of these programs in the lives of these very impressionable adolescents who do not have the maturity to process these programs. Tom, let me give one more reason why this culture of death is being propagated and embraced and celebrated, from abortion to infanticide and now to active euthanasia. Let me tell you why. We have a culture that's lost hope. We have a culture that whose only hope, will I get a good job? Will I make a lot of money? Will I be famous? Do I have friends on the social media? They don't have any understanding of true hope, and that's where we as Christians have got to step up to the plate, not only to confront the lunacy and destructiveness of this culture of death from the beginning of life all the way to the end of life. We have got to get the one true and glorious hope that there is a Savior who is sovereign and who saves us and who is with us in every issue of life and will make you more than an overcomer in Him, who overcame sin, death, and hell in the grave at the cross and the resurrection to give eternal life. We have got to get that hope permeated back through our culture so that people understand you may not know what tomorrow holds, but you can know the one who holds tomorrow, and He can hold you. Now, Tom, let me make also one other point theologically, and that's this. Suicide, while it is a sin, can take place for numerous reasons. Despair of a moment. People need to understand you don't have to get forgiveness of each individual sin by asking for it after you do it. That Christians, when they come to Christ, they come to Him who has paid for all of their sins, and we turn from them. Now, certainly when we sin, we confess and repent to restore our intimacy and to grow in grace. But our salvation was secured by Christ, who paid for all of our sins, past, present, and future. And that's where our hope is. There are times that Christians have committed suicide out of various reasons. A moment when everything was bleak, our misguided motivations, I'll help out other people if I do this. I want people to understand it's not the unpardonable sin. The unpardonable sin is simply but profoundly the rejection of the Holy Spirit's call to come to Jesus Christ. As a pastor, I've had to respond to this situation many times, and I'm grateful for a biblical world and life view with the sufficiency of Christ. But that calls me all the more to minister to people so that they walk with Christ, trust Christ, are not overcome by the challenges of the day to depression and entertaining these publicly promoted mechanisms of suicide as the answer. Keep relationships with other people. Don't get insulated. Keep brothers and sisters around you who can weep with you when you weep and rejoice with you when you rejoice.
The Apostle Paul tells us to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. It is essential that we have a proper understanding of spiritual warfare. If the believer embraces the Bible as God's word, then we must recognize the reality of spiritual warfare and get prepared for battle. Pastor Reeder delivers a 15-sermon album to help us understand spiritual warfare that we might stand. To order your copy of this series, go to briarwood.org/spiritual warfare. Well, thanks for being with us today. Join us again tomorrow, Wednesday, as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview to put the issues of today in perspective.